Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Open your Bibles, if you would, to... where do we want to start? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to go from Galatians chapter 3 over into Ephesians and may end up over in Acts a little bit. We're in a series right now on Holy Spirit, your best friend forever. And we're going to get into some things today. You know, we've been spending a lot of time in the last few weeks. 3-4 weeks, I think it has been, talking about the environment that Holy Spirit loves to be involved with. And I know everybody, you know, folks, human beings have in their DNA, it's in their DNA, they want to be connected to God. You know, that's why you hear some of these testimonies that we heard today, you know, unless they're freaked out and don't know what you're going to do, folks are willing for you to pray for. Because they want that connection to God. And, you know, the thing about it is we need not be so concerned about the result. And let's just be concerned about being in His heart. Did you hear what I said? We want to be in His heart. We want to be a part of what His heart is a part of. We want to love what He loves. And quite frankly, so much of what in the beginning stages of this kind of a culture, folks, so much of what is being laid is not about the result, it's about the obedience. He just wants us to become Him. You know, if Jesus is walking on the, you know, that's part of the reason why I really didn't like that whole "what would Jesus do" thing, you know, that movement that happened some years back, because most of the stuff that they said "what would Jesus do" wasn't what He would do. You know, I had a conversation with a guy this last week, and his whole premise was he thought Jesus was functioning from a moral basis. He wasn't functioning from a moral basis. He was functioning from a kingdom basis. It's a totally different thing. So we need to function from a kingdom basis also. And so in this culture that he's trying to establish, it's so important that just take your eyes off the results. We can pray 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 10, 15, 20 times. Who cares? Who cares how many times you pray for somebody? If they're willing to let you pray for them, just pray for them. And just keep going for it. You keep using the authority that the kingdom says is yours. And just keep going for it. Because in the early stages, folks, it's just all about, really, it's about establishing the culture, establishing the obedience. It's not about you focusing on the result. Well, it didn't work, so I ain't going to do it anymore. It's not about that. It's about you. It's just about it becoming you. Right? And you'll be shocked when it becomes you, all of a sudden, all heaven will break loose. And that's where he's trying to get us. So let's just let it become us. You know, however it looks like for you. I mean, I've said this before. If talking to people freaks you out, then start there. Just start talking to people. And if that's no big deal for you, then tell them God thinks they're amazing. And if that's no big deal for you, then you can drop the J-bomb and start talking about Jesus. And if that's no big deal for you, make sure they understand He loves them. He thinks they're magnificent. They're the apple of His eye, and He's got great plans for their life. And he just wants to be a part of, you know, he wants a relationship with them. You know, if that's no big deal for you, then start praying for the sick. See, there's all kinds of ways we can get into this thing, depending on where your wall of fear is. You know, the whole idea is, let's just end up on the other side where whom is set and set free is really free. That's the end result. We don't care where anybody starts. Let's just make sure we're free. You know, I love the way Greg is real, man. You get out there, all this kind of pressure. It's like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that or not. You know, that's just being real, brother. You know how many conversations I had like that in my head? Probably in the same seat at Costco. But, you know, that's just where, we have opposition. That shouldn't be odd to us. That's just the darkness. They're a bunch of idiots anyway. So let's just push back. So whatever pushing looks like to you, then push. Keep pushing. You know, when I just said that word push, I just saw this. I just saw, how many of you have seen these guys, this is an analogy for you, so you'll appreciate this. Ladies, I'm sorry. But how many have ever seen these big blocking sleds that they have in football that they train, like four or five side-by-side pads, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys hit that thing and they drive it back 15, 20 yards. I love those things. I used to love those things. We need to do that with the kingdom. Just hit those things. If they start pushing, you start pushing back. Just hit that sled and push it and drive it back 15, 20 yards. And you keep doing that a couple of times and pretty soon they'll be like, well, maybe we should rethink our strategy here. This isn't working. You know, let's just do it. Anyway, so our best friend forever is the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, guys, I just have to admit to you, I've been really amazed at the things that the Spirit of God has drawn out of His Word as far as given us understanding of what is Him and what is not Him. And, I never really thought about this before. I just figured, you know what, I've seen a lot of stuff in my life as a pastor, and I've seen all kinds of people come and go. I've seen all kinds of things come out of people's mouths. I've seen all kinds of reasons why they're not doing this, or they're not going to do that, or they're not a part of this, or they're no longer coming, or whatever it is. I've seen all kinds of reasons, and a lot of them sound pretty spiritual. But I really never looked past a certain point in His Word to see that Holy Spirit is really very clear as to what the environment is that is Him and what the environment is that's not Him. We all have a desire to be spiritual people because you are one. A man is a spirit. And you were created to be one spirit with Him. So we can't fault folks for wanting to be spiritual and wanting to talk spiritual and be spiritual because that's what you are. That's who you are. But if we're going to do that, it's important that we get it right and we recognize what is Him, what is not Him, what is He a part of, what is He not a part of, so that we understand if He steps a certain place, we step with Him. If He hasn't stepped there, then don't go there. Because it's just a distraction. And, you know, I when I teach stuff like this, you know, folks, understand this. I have to teach what this says. I can't just teach what everybody wants. If that's the kind of pastor you want, I think you're in the wrong place. You know, but I don't think that is. I don't believe that is. But we want to be in step with what is the Spirit of God. Well, let's cut out all the fluff and let's understand as we grow and as the culture develops, you're going to see all kinds of folks. And the Spirit of God's job is for you, His desire is for you to recognize where something is coming from so that you know how to respond to that. And you know how to positively influence that individual if they'll allow you to, into the culture that the Spirit of God has in this church. Does that make sense? So, in Galatians, you'll notice these things in Galatians. He's got a lot for us today. I don't know if I can get to all of it, quite honestly, but I'm going to tell you where we're moving in the new year. We'll finish up this series for now on the Holy Spirit, your best friend forever, probably around the end of the year. But where we're going from there is really, this is the foundation for where we're going. Because, and we're going to touch on a little bit of it today, but He wants to develop a culture that He can add to. It you know, I think we've mentioned these things in weeks past, months past. But if we don't recognize what he produces, what it looks like, and we try to make it be something else, or we try to make it be something that's convenient for us, then really what we're doing is we're putting us as the center of the circle, and he's got nothing to add to. It shouldn't be any kind of a mystery, folks. If local churches are not growing, it shouldn't be any kind of a mystery why they're not. It's simply because the people that are there haven't realized that they haven't given the Spirit of God anything to add to. They haven't allowed him to create the culture. And maybe we haven't realized that there is one. I think probably that's what it is. We really haven't realized that there is a specific culture that is the Holy Spirit. And it's all in our Word. We just haven't noticed it. So we're going to kind of, maybe if we have time, we're going to end there a little bit just to kind of wet our whistle a little bit to where we're going to head in the new year. But there's a lot of things involved with that. But right here in Galatians, notice what Paul says. He talks about in Galatians chapter 3, he says, he questions them and he says this. He says, look, he said, I want to ask you this question. This is verse 2. He said, I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of law or by an environment of law? You know, we've mentioned this in days gone by, folks. A natural man, this is where you live. If you let yourself in your natural man, this is exactly where you'll live. And he's talking about the religious environment of law. And we're going to get into that today. We kind of touched on a little bit last week. But we've talked in days gone by that, folks, natural man in general, you don't even have to be religiously bent. This is where you live. And we, you know, if you're not familiar with what we've talked about, then, you know, go on the website, pull up the message and start listening to the messages. Because they're there. And my prayer is that we value what Holy Spirit has said enough to go back and listen to it over and over and over again. Because it won't become part of us if we don't do that. But in this environment, Paul is saying, look, I want to ask you, did you experience the Spirit of God because you were living out of an environment of law? And it's kind of a rhetorical question because the answer is obviously no. And then he goes on to say, did you receive the Spirit by the environment of law or out from the environment of law or by, or literally out from, the hearing, NASB says, with faith, but literally your margin in your Bible says the hearing of faith. Did you participate in the Spirit of God out from an environment of law, or did you participate in the with the Holy Spirit with the environment of you hearing what faith was speaking to you? And again, I wish I could go back and show you every single verse in your New Testament that talks about faith has a voice. Faith is speaking to you. Again, folks, if you're going to spend your whole life trying to get faith, you're going to be very, very frustrated. Because faith is not from you, it's from Him. Faith is tied to revelation. They both come from Holy Spirit. So our job as the new model is to farm revelation from the Scripture. When the revelation comes, the faith shows up, in case you haven't noticed. And when the faith shows up, it's telling you, Holy Spirit is telling you, that right there belongs to you right now. And he's showing you those things. It's kind of like your backdoor communication. He's revealing those. It's the evidence of things that you're not seeing. It's speaking to you, and he's wanting you to take a hold of it, take ownership of it. And then your part of that whole package is, we call it corresponding actions, but it's basically just believing. So you just act like it's so. Abraham was accounted righteous because he believed God. He acted on what faith said to him. He lived in the presence of Father, or in the presence of the Lord every day. He talked about the Lord as like out from in the presence of the one that I walk. So it wasn't a figment of his imagination. It wasn't a, you know, it was just, it wasn't a concept. It wasn't an idea. But when he said, "You're a father of many nations," faith said that to him. You say, "Well, I thought God said that to him." Is there a difference? So when faith spoke that to him, it was simply pulling back the veil and saying, "By the way, Abraham, this is who you've always been from eternity." It was the evidence of things not seen. Abraham has always been from eternity past the father of many nations. When the Lord spoke that to him, when faith spoke that to him, he was simply revealing to him who he's always been from his vantage point. So when faith shows up, when you farm revelation from Scripture, when faith shows up, it's the unseen arena. It's the Lord's vantage point. Faith is speaking to you, revealing to you who you've always been from eternity past and what has always been yours from eternity past. So that's the environment that Paul is talking about. We've made this thing be something else. It's no wonder we don't understand what Paul's saying. I think Paul understood what he was talking about. Because even the way he talked about it, even to the letter of the Corinthians, he says, "Look, I'm telling you these things in the presence of him . So the Lord was very real to Paul. It wasn't just a concept for him either. And so this is the environment that Paul is saying. He says, "Look, did you participate in that kind of environment? Did you participate with that which was the Holy Spirit and his constant working of miracles in your midst?" Everybody say constant. My desire is for the body of Christ to come back into that environment. Because that's who you are. We're the ones that have made it odd. We're the ones that have believed that bad babysitter that told us, "Well, that's not your gift. It's not really you. It's only a certain people and you're not it." But you're responsible who you're listening to. We're all responsible to who we're listening to. Who's throwing trash in your yard? The devil tries to throw trash in my yard all the time. So we're responsible to keep our own yards clean and to make sure that no one dumps their crap in our yard. That's spelled C-R-A-P for all you guys over in internet land. So he's talking about that environment. And folks, when we understand that this is really what he's saying, he's contrasting, look, the environment that is associated with you is a constant interaction with the Holy Spirit of God. And the constant interaction with the Holy Spirit of God, it looks like this. Now, are you experiencing those things because you've made a choice to live over in the environment of law? In this case, religious in nature. Or is it because you're responding to what faith is saying to you, and every time you step out on that, something happens? And it's a rhetorical question because the answer is the latter. So that's what Galatians is speaking about, is this environment that we're supposed to be familiar with. And quite frankly, it's so amazing. He talks about the other environment, about being spoken to by an environment of law versus the faith of God speaking to you. And he calls it, he says, you know, really, let's jump forward. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13, he talks about that Christ has redeemed us or set us free from, we call it the curse of law. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Depending on who you talk to, they're going to tell you what this is. But the Spirit of God tells you what it is all through the New Testament. Through Paul, he tells you what the curse of law is all through the New Testament, the writings of Paul. So it's not only just the issue of being set free from, you know, Deuteronomy, where it's if you violate this, and you know, all of the sicknesses and diseases that were put on the Egyptians will come upon you. That's part of the curse, but that's the physical manifestation. We're talking about, what about between your own two ears? He didn't just set your body free. He set your spirit free and your body and your mind. And he doesn't want anything else roping you in any of those areas. So he says here, he says that Christ redeemed you, set you free from curse, the curse of law. And part of the curse of law is the fact that if you step into it, you might as well rope yourself to the millstone, buddy, because you're going to go running in circles all day. Because it's never satisfied for just one thing. It may start there, but then all of a sudden now it's demanding this. And then it's demanding this. And now it's demanding this. And pretty soon in your own Bible, Paul says this in chapter 3, verses 10 and 12. He said, if you're in the environment of law and you entertain that, then all of a sudden now you're going to find yourself that you'll find yourself having to abide in all things that are written therein. And then he says this in verse 12, he who practices them shall live in them. Because law is never satisfied if you just have one little tiny area. It wants it all. But guess who wants all those areas too? Holy Spirit wants those areas. He wants to be the voice that's speaking, not law. And believe me, law will speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. But man was never designed to be spoken to by law. He was designed to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the reason Jesus did what he did when he paid the lien that was against the entire human race was to bring man out from under this environment of law that natural man already knew. He didn't design for him to come out of this environment of law to stick him into another one. He brought him out of that so that he would reconnect his spirit with God's spirit and your one spirit with him, and you live from that place. And that place will never take you back into law. It will never do that. So he says here, I forgot to turn my screen rotator off. Yeah. He says, the righteous man, how many know Jesus made you righteous? The righteous man, he's simply making a statement of fact. The righteous man will live out from what faith is saying to him all the time. That's where he'll live. He'll just live from what the Spirit of God, what faith is speaking to him all the time. And we talked about this last week. If we want to be part of, if we want to fully experience the Creator of the universe, if we want to fully experience him, then we have to be involved with what his passion is. Right? If it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, then his passion is people. Yeah. Right? And so if we want to fully experience him, we have to be involved with what his passion is. Then we'll fully experience him. What happens so many times is we, you know, and I was raised in church my whole life, guys. I know exactly what I'm talking about and I know where we all come from. If our Christian experience is lackluster and it's uneventful, we're looking for things to make it be more eventful. But I'm telling you, if we want to experience the fullness of him, then let's go with where he is and be involved with what his passion is, and his passion is people. You'll experience all that you could ever want from him and of him in that arena. And that's the point Paul is making in Galatians 3. If you want to experience the miracles that are constantly being worked among you, they're being worked among you because you were listening to what faith was saying to you. That's the previous chapter and on into chapter 3. And you were acting on what faith was saying to you. And every time you act on what faith was saying to you, the Holy Spirit came behind you and worked with you. And his presence showed up, his power showed up, and that's what the gospel is. It's about his presence and his power. Let's not make it about, be about anything else. Let's not look for anything else to spice up our lives with, because there's more spice than we can deal with when we just follow him. Amen? Okay. And then in Galatians 3, verse 14, he talks about the promise of the Spirit. Ever say the promise of the Spirit? You know, this phrase shows up so many times in this letter. The promise of the Spirit. The promise. The promise. The promise was spoken in verse 16. In verse 14, Jesus did what he did so that the blessing of Abraham, which was the promise of the presence of him, would come on the nations. Jesus did what he did so that he could plug back in the presence of man with the presence of God. He was never supposed to be separated. But in that union, the presence of man with the presence of God, there are things that we're supposed to be hearing, and where there's things we're supposed to be seeing that we need to develop in. Be a disciple, develop in those things, and then every time we act from that place, we'll bring the nations in to be the same way. Because they were designed. They have a hunger in them. There's not a political leader in the country, in the world, that would not love to have a direct connection with the Spirit of God to know how to solve his country's problems. But the Spirit of God is the only one that's got the answers. Because he's got the insight. He knows what's going on. So our job as disciples is to first, A, learn how to have an ear to hear. And that means you have to know, you have to be able to discern, spend enough time with him and what he's involved with to realize what is really him and what is not him. And what you're going to find is anything that pulls us away from his passion, that ain't him. The Holy Spirit is not about isolation. He has absolutely nothing to do with that. That's about our comfort zone. That's what we like. That's us. That's not him. He's all about, stay with me and I'll grow you past that. So anytime folks are trying to isolate themselves, pull back, I understand where I'm coming from, folks. I'm talking about in general terms, but folks, I've been pastoring a long time and I've seen a lot of stuff. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. And it's like, after a while you get really tired of hearing the same old darkness garbage. Then it gets put in people's head and they take it as, ooh, I'm spiritual, woo, and they leave. But they're not spiritual. They're being isolated, and now they're being separated, isolated, and now he's going to have a heyday in their life. Because the Spirit of God designed for every human being to be plugged into a local church, period. Because it's in that local church, see, it's in that local church that he has the opportunity to show you what's in your heart. That doesn't preach real good in the Western world. But, other places don't have a problem with it. But that's reality. When he does things from the local church. Every one of these letters is to a local church. We're the ones that decided to pan out and make it a universal spectrum because that was a little too uncomfortable for us and I don't want to deal with an individual. Well, that's in your heart. He wants to deal with that. But he's saying, look, for human beings, the promise of the Spirit, that is the gospel. Jesus did what he did because he wanted to connect the Spirit of God back in the spirit of man. And then have the man learn how to function from that place. Learn how to develop an ear to hear. Isaiah 50, that's what a disciple is. When Jesus said, go make disciples, he wasn't talking about go make people that have to slave over scriptures and learn your doctrine and learn your theology. He said, I want you to teach them to do all that I've commanded you. In other words, what have I done for the last 3.5 years? Whatever Father gave me, I gave you. You become that and then you cause the nations to become that too. Because a disciple to Jesus was someone who was trained by the Spirit of God to hear and then be able to speak to lift up a weary one. That's Isaiah 50. A disciple is nothing else than that. We've made it be other things. But it's that. Because it's only that that's going to help people. Because people were designed to be connected, the promise of the Spirit. Verse 16, Galatians 3. The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. Well, the seed, we find out in later verse 16, is Christ himself. And You know, and then in verse 19, it talks about the seed to whom the promise had been made had come. Think about this, guys. Jesus came into the earth as a human being. As a human being, that promise was for him. So he took it. And what do we find in Luke 4? What happens? The Spirit of God came upon him. He entered into that promise and he secured the fusing together of the Spirit of God on the Spirit of man, and it's never been separated ever again. And so everything that we see that happened in the life of Jesus, how he functioned, how he operated, that's how a man is supposed to operate in this environment. You know, in this letter, he talks about, this stuff is just so popular, I know, but I'm going to give you what this says. I don't care about anything else. In this letter, he deals with natural man issues that separate and segregate people. And it's all in the background of, look, in verse 27 in Galatians 3, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. In other words, you don't exist anymore. It's not about you. Hold on to your hats. It's not about your ethnicity. It's not about your gender. It's not about whether you have hair, no hair, mustache, no mustache, whether you're blue, green, purple, brown, yellow. It's not about any of that at all. It's not about what kind of political letter you got behind your name. Did you know that Jesus had folks in his little group that were trying to steer him into running a government? Did he go there? I said, did he go there? So let me ask you a question. If he didn't go there, then why are we trying to? I'm not saying we're not supposed to be involved. Don't go there in your thoughts. But I'm saying, why would that be the only thing you relate to as being a Christian? Because the reality of it, folks, is we've got to come to the place where we understand, as a body of Christ, we don't have our own agenda. Those things are fine. Those things are important. And, you know, my gosh, my prayer in this next election is we get folks, men, women, you know, that have a heart to get connected with the Spirit of God, and they get some answers, because no natural man, they just screwed up worse and worse. So we need folks that can hear from the Spirit of God. But you know what? That's not our assignment. Your assignment is the same mission that Jesus gave you, your assignment. Why are you trying to trade it off something else? He said, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Do you think that the government was perfect when the first century church was there? Let me let you know a little insight. It was the opposite of perfect. Is there any discussion in here at all about how bad things are politically, and the fact that that's just a hindrance for us and we wish we had the right people in office? And, you know, do you see any of that discussion at all in here? No. Did it stop the gospel from spreading and overtaking the entire world? No. You know why? Because they did their assignment. Natural man can't curse the darkness if we're letting the kingdom come out of us, because it'll affect them. Maybe the reason natural man is cursing the darkness is he's cursing the lack of anything. And all it's getting from the church is words, 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 but no kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Because Jesus made this statement. He said, those that have been affected by the kingdom of God, they're always for us. So let's get out there and let's affect a culture. Let's just bring the kingdom, because that's what your assignment is. Jesus said in John 17, Father, just as you sent me, I'm sending them. Same assignment, same empowerment, same everything. Why do we try to shuffle it off and make something else? So he never intended for us to do that out from under what he secured as the promise of the Spirit. We're supposed to learn how to function from that place. And so in verse 28 of Galatians 3, he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:6, he says this, for in Christ Jesus there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. In other words, religious bend, not religious, that's not a focus. It's, guys, we're no longer in the era of, if you're not with us, you're not in. Those days are gone. Where to go from here? Galatians 4, he says, look, he says, as long as the heir is a child, and the child he's speaking of is someone who's chosen to live in the environment of law. Read the letter, it's all there. Because that's the only contrast there is in this book. He says that those that are chosen to live in the environment of law, they're like a child. Even though, and I'll get this is so amazing. It says, even though he's the owner of everything. If you have a margin in your Bible, what you're going to find that margin says is, even though he's the Lord of everything. Because understand this. Again, what's the contrast Paul is trying to draw here? The contrast is those that choose to live connected to the Spirit of God, one Spirit with Him, he calls that the placing of a mature son over the Father's business. Jesus purchased the entire human race so that he could place the entire human race over the family business. And we would be just like Jesus was in John 9 that says, we must always be about our Father's business. We're the ones that made it be something else. Jesus modeled specifically what that looks like. And you can't do that without the interaction with the promise of the Spirit of God. You cannot do it that. We've tried to do all kinds of other things. We've tried to make it be something else so that we could be standing in the right place, and it's just not right. We're not in the right place. It's not the right thing. Jesus is the only model of what managing the Father's business looks like. Do that. So, he said those that have chosen to live in an environment of law, they are simply, they're just simply children. They're being managed. You ever seen a movie where, you know, the kids in the house, their dad had some business, you know, and the kids were basically being managed by a nanny or something? Was there any interaction between the kids and the father? No. You know why? Because it wasn't his job. They had interaction with the nanny. The nanny told them what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and all that stuff. Father didn't send Jesus into the earth so he could have some surrogate raise his kids. Because he wants to put you over the family business. Verse 2 says, you're being managed. But he says, until the date set by the Father. But the problem is the date set by the Father has already come and gone. Why are we still allowing ourselves to be managed? The date set by the Father was when Jesus came into the earth. He went to the cross, paid the price, paid the lien, was raised from the dead. And when he was raised up, Ephesians says you were raised up with him. You've already been placed over the family business. The date's already come and gone. His question to these guys was, what in the world are you doing trying to put yourself back under being managed when you're supposed to be the manager? The fullness of time has come. It's gone. It's here. He said, so that he might redeem those who are under law, that they may receive the adoption of sons, or the placing of a mature son over his father's business. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And the word son there is a mature son. Do you see what he's saying here? Anybody that, if folks choose to live in environments of law, the Spirit of God is telling you point blank, you are nothing more than a child and a slave. You are nothing, you have no other options. You're not created to be a child and a slave. Whom the Son has set free is supposed to be free. This is the reason why we haven't understood, because we came out of an environment of law. That's the foundation of the way the world works. That's verse 9. Now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by Him, He says, why are you turning back to the weak and worthless elemental things of the world? And he's simply telling us this, that the environment of law is the very environment that the world system runs on. Is it any reason that we've had confusion about what is this environment as a Christian supposed to look like? Because coming out of this, this feels more right. Folks that love to be disciplined, they love this. So they run, when they get over here, they're like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel, it's just a little bit, I gotta be man. And so they go back and they try to create a structure that they came out of over there. And then they call this Christianity. And the fact is, the only thing speaking to you is the environment of law that you said you were more comfortable with, that you established in your own head. It's the law of your mind. Holy Spirit's not talking to you, that is. He says it in here. You're not being talked to by both. You're being talked to by one or the other. Don't confuse them. But we have. Because we didn't really realize what was Holy Spirit, what was His fingerprint, what was the environment that He was really a part of, and what's not, because we've had so much of this hybrid thing. And so much detachment from the father of the family, that we've let this bad babysitter tell us what's him, and in reality, it's not him at all. It's all in here. But notice what that environment produces, and this is what I want to get to. I got 15 minutes. This is what that environment produces. How many have ever seen, not necessarily in this church, but how many have ever seen a situation in a church where folks got into little tiffs with other people in the church? And then they have home groups and they get into tiffs. And all the ones that agree with one person, they all join. And then there's another group across town, you know, they're, and so pretty soon you get all these groups and they're all like, against each other. You know what causes that? In the environment of law. Someone in that environment who started that whole thing is living out of an environment of law. You say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, because your Bible says it right here. We read this, right? He says it in Galatians 4, he says in verse 15, notice these folks that have started to get influenced by, that environment of law feels a little bit, it feels a little bit more what I'm used to. I think I'm going to come back. And Paul says, look, where then is that sense of blessing that you had? Do you ever notice that the first thing that environment of law does is it severs that natural God-natured, I love you, man. And it starts to separate. And now all of a sudden, now you're paying attention to things that are wrong with them. Same thing happens in marriage. Why does it happen in marriage? Because once one of the people in that environment, or both of them, have chosen to live and interact with the other one in an environment of law. So all the things that they used to love about the person, now they notice all the things that are wrong with them. Why? That's the environment of law. So you got a husband and wife, and all of a sudden that's all they can think about, is all the bad stuff that's wrong with each other, and pretty soon it's all his fault, it's all her fault, and pretty soon, you know what? That whole thing was started by you're living out of the law of your own mind, you're living in an environment of law. Because law is the only thing that produces that. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, this one spirit with him, the only thing that produces that environment is one of the people or both is living in an environment of law. Paul says, look, where's that sense of blessing that you had? Past tense. He says, now I've become your enemy in verse 16. The environment of law does that. It severs and separates. Separates. So then all of a sudden the ones that are telling the truth, you know how many people that I've stood in front of or I sat down with and I spoke straight from the Spirit of God to them and they looked at me and said, no, that's not it. I'm out of here. And I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in my lifetime. You know why? Because they're living out of the law of their mind and they've made the law of their mind supersede what the Spirit of God is actually saying. The environment of law does that. It severs. Because as a new man, your natural bend is to love every person that's breathing. That's your natural bend because that's the name. God so loved and he put that in you. So you so love people. What causes that to be short-circuited is you make a decision to live out of an environment of law. It severs that natural connection and it separates you away from it. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians. There's so much in this letter. I mean, I could just start Ephesians chapter 1 and just start reading. But for the sake of time, I want you to see this. We're talking about that natural, as the new man. How many new men and women we have in this place? Okay, so your natural, as the new man, as the new woman, your natural, as the new model, your natural connection, your natural bend is to so love people. Because the nature he gave you so loves people. Verse, chapter 1, verse 7. These are verses that you've got to translate the grace of God as to what it is and not what religious systems have told you it is, because otherwise what you're going to do is you're going to miss what he's saying. And you're going to reduce this down to a theological concept instead of the reality of what your Father actually did for you. That's convenient for darkness. They like you to do that. He says this in verse 6. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Every time you see the word grace, I want you to think about the presence of him and the working of his power that accompanies that presence. That's what Galatians 3 was talking about. So he says this, he says everything he did it, it was according to the kind intention of his will, verse 5. The result was because he wants to show off the manifested presence of him and the working of his power. Which he freely bestowed on you. Say freely. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his presence and the working of his power. Look, folks, you didn't come out of the kingdom of darkness on your own. You didn't get the new nature you got just because you said, well, I think I'm going to agree with that. I think I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to start living different. No, you got a new nature. You're a new model. That old dude's gone. Naturally, that's impossible. But because of the presence of him fused with the presence of you, he went and gave you a new nature. He moved in, fused the two together. Now you're one spirit with him. Verse 8. Speaking of that presence and the working of his power, he says he lavished it on you. Everybody say lavished. Lavished. I can't even picture what that word looks like. He lavished his presence and the working of his power on you. Is that not what Paul was saying in Galatians 3? The work, the constant working of miracles among you. He says he lavished his presence upon you. And the work of his power upon you. For the specific reason, verse 10 says in the NASB, with a view to an administration. Well, that's kind of weird. We don't talk like that anymore. But what he's essentially saying is, for the specific reason to execute when the time came, the summing up of all things into Christ, what things is that? the things that are in heaven and the things that are in earth. So when he lavished upon you his presence and the working of his power, he did so because there was going to come a time in the fullness of time, and we saw in Galatians that time has come, and it's here now. That whatever is a reality in heaven is supposed to be a reality in earth. He fused the two together. There is no separation. How many know the presence of Father is pretty strong in heaven? Well, guess what? It's pretty strong here now too. In fact, it's supposed to be pretty strong in you because heaven and earth has been fused together. He just said it right there. He fused. This is why it's so important. Jesus came in as a man and he sewed up both. He was the recipient of the promise as a man. Made the promise with Abraham. He walked among the pieces with Abraham, knowing that I'm doing this because I'm doing this for me when I take on an earth suit. This is for me. I'm going to sew it up for the entire human race. Abraham let me in. I'm going to do it. And so then he came into the earth, put on an earth suit, became as a man, and he received the promise that he cut the covenant with Abraham back there. And he locked it up and sewed it up for every breathing human being on the planet. The promise of the Spirit. Why? Because Father's desire was for the presence of Him. He wanted to lavish on you all that is heaven on you, in you. And our job as that vessel is to let it out. Why in the world would we want to get distracted with anything else? He says to him in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, to him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's that phrase again. Folks, I was raised in church my whole life. How come I never heard of the fact that the reason why Jesus did what he did was because he wanted to put his spirit back in the spirit of man forever? I never heard that one time, ever. And I've been to a lot of churches. That was never a reality that was communicated to me at all. That wasn't even part of the content of the gospel. Where to go now? Go to chapter 2, look at verse 4. He says, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. See, that's what we call grace. But he said, he called it mercy. Why are we calling it something else? We're calling it something else because the next phrase says, by grace you've been saved. But that's not really what the original text says. Because the original text, the focus is not about how you got there. The focus is the fact that, yeah, it was your mercy that took you from here to there, but he's talking about who you are right now. Romans 5 says, into this grace in which you stand, into the promise of the Spirit, into the presence of Him and the working of His power in which you stand, he says, you were dead in your transgressions. It was the mercy of God that got you from there over to the kingdom of life, because he could have roasted you. That's my translation. But he said, he raised you up and seated you with him in heavenly places so that in the ages to come, he would show the surpassing riches of his, what? Grace. What's his grace? The surpassing riches of his presence and the working of his power that's in Christ Jesus. Everybody say in Christ Jesus. It didn't get you into Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. And then he says, verse 10, for you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for that you would walk in them in his presence in the work of his power. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles or the non-Jewish folks in your natural man, who were called, everybody say called, understand who was calling them this. The religious population. He says, you were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. He said, but remember in those times that you know, and it says you were separate from Christ and excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise and having no hope without God in the world. He's simply telling you this is their mindset. Keep it in the context. The same ones that were calling you uncircumcised were the same ones who were telling you that you had no hope, you're separated, and you're excluded. Notice what the law does. What does it do? It separates and excludes. Folks, anytime you'll have an issue in a local church, it'll be because somebody in that issue is living in an environment of law. And it produces this. Shouldn't be a shock for us, folks. It shouldn't be, how come they left? Because somebody chose to live in an environment of law that will always cause you to exclude and separate. Because His Spirit doesn't do that. Ever say His Spirit doesn't do that? Ever. So he goes on saying in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups, the ones that are religious living in an environment of law and the ones that are non-Jewish, and they're still living in an environment of law, but they're just not religious bent, right? Because natural man, that's the foundation of the world system. He made both of those groups one new man. And then something struck me. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off, according to them, have been made near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who made both groups one, and the barrier of the dividing wall. That's what law does. It creates barriers and dividing walls. Folks, our culture as the New Testament church, there shouldn't be barriers and dividing walls. Paul says the only reason those things exist, the only reason you bite and devour each other is because you're living in an environment of law. That's what it produces. So anytime we find ourselves in that, check your thought process. Is this where I'm living? And you better say yeah, because that's what the Spirit of God says. And so let's just make an adjustment and go a different direction. So he says, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity. He called an environment of law the enmity. It's not your friend, it's the enmity. He said, so in himself he might make the two groups into one new man, establishing peace, reconciling them both into one body. So he came and preached peace to those who were far off in verse 17 and those who are near. Now let me ask you a question. Notice what he said about the ones that were living in an environment of law. Notice it says that they were merely near. Did you ever notice that? It says that they were merely near. Let me ask you a question. Was man called to just be near God? No. The promise of the Spirit is all about him being in God, not being near God. We ought not be comfortable with just being near God. I want to be in God. Jesus didn't go to the cross just so as to be near God. He did it so we can be in God and be in God in you. He's simply saying here, previously, he said, you know, you that are far off, I'm talking from the East Coast. You that were afar off, you know, he brought you near by the blood. That just took care of the barrier between the two groups. But that's not where you're supposed to stay and live. Because the gospel is the reality of the promise of the Spirit on the entire human race. His Spirit and your Spirit, one Spirit with him. You were all created to drink of one Spirit. That's not talking about being near him. In closing, go over to Acts. And while you're going over there, I'm just going to read verse 22 of Ephesians 2. Or verse 21, it says, he says, you're his building, you're being built together into a growing holy temple of the Lord, or a growing sanctuary of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Notice that anything Holy Spirit has his hand on, it draws people together, not separates them away. Did you hear what I just said? Did you know this is all in your Bible? How many know I didn't just last week just, you know, write it in? What the Holy Spirit's a part of, it causes things to become together and be built together, be knit together into a dwelling place of God, and you by yourself is not it. That's not the context here. Now go to, I said Acts, right? I realize, folks, as the Western church, this kind of sucks. Because as the Western world, we love that little remote control on the top of our visor that we can just push that little button, it raises our garage. It's like that cartoon, that Disney cartoon, where, you know, I had to watch this Disney cartoon with Goofy as driving insanely. And all you'd ever see is there's a nice house. All of a sudden, the garage door go up, the back out, the car back out, the car close, and he's off. And then when he comes home, garage goes up, car goes in, garage goes down. Still, no contact with anybody. That's the Western world. But that's not his heart. That's self-preservation. Look at Acts chapter 2. Okay, this is the day of Pentecost. We're going to close with this. The Holy Spirit's poured out. Peter gives a great message about the Spirit of God, talking about the promise of the Spirit. And he said, this promise, verse 33 of Acts 2 says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Notice that if we're going to have interaction with the Spirit of God, there are things that are going to be seen and things that are supposed to be heard. It's not mental. It's not just your thought process. It's things are supposed to be in the here now, out in the open. So he talks about verse 39, the promise, this gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise is for you and your children and for all. Aren't you glad it's for all? Not just for some. It's for every person breathing on the planet who are afar off, as far as the Lord, many as the Lord will call. And then look, notice what happened as a result. Okay, how many would agree that the Holy Spirit is involved in what's happening right now? Would you agree that the Holy Spirit's involved with this? Notice what happens. It says in verse 42, and they were continually stayed in their own houses, did what was convenient for them. If it felt good, they did it. If it was convenient, they did it. And they got together every once in a while. Is that what it says? Oh. They were continuing devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And the word fellowship means to be a partaker with. The breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many signs and wonders were taking place. See, they were hanging around with each other. That's the culture that is the local church. Verse 46, day by day, so it wasn't just a one-time deal, they continued with each one that did right in his own mind. Is that what it says? No, it says they continued with one mind. Whose mind were they continuing in? Well, first of all, it came from the apostles' teaching, but then it came from him. And they were together with gladness, verse 46, and sincerity of heart. And notice what verse 47 says. Notice the environment that had been allowed to be created. What was it? Everybody was together. Everybody hung out together. And so because that was in culture, the Holy Spirit had something to add to. It's right here in your Bible. I didn't write this. Having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day. Why? Because they were together day by day. Can I just say something? I'm just going to say something, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, slice and dice, because that's not who I am. But at the same time, I'm the pastor of this church, and I have authority from the Spirit of God to say this. And don't take this the wrong way, because it's all in there. And this goes for any local church, not just this one. Any local church, when they have things that were designed to get people together, to develop these relationships together, to knit people together. Every time a local church does that, including this one, the general thought process in the Western church is, if it's convenient, I'll do it. If I feel like it, I'll do it. If it's something I'm interested in, I'll do it. Otherwise, when you're missing the point is not about you. The point is about that one that he wants to add. But if we don't ever get together, there's nothing for him to add to. When we do things as a church, folks, it's not about you. It's about the one that God wants to add. Can we just forget about ourselves just for at least every time one of these things comes up? It's not about us. I know it's not convenient. Believe me. If I let my natural man be my natural man, man, don't bother me, man. I'm busy. But it's not about me. It's not about anybody in this room. It's about the ones that are not in this room. I gave it to you from the Word. There it is. But that's the environment that the Holy Spirit, when He's involved with it, that's what it looks like. If we'll let Him be amongst us. Notice what happened too. The more time they spent together, the signs and wonders increased. This is where He's trying to take us. Even into this new year. He has a whole lot to say about that culture. And if we'll let Him take us on this ride, at the end of next year, we'll be in a totally different place. Because we decided to get involved with the heart of our daddy. And the heart of our daddy is people. It's not you. It's not me. It's about people. It's not about doing what I love to do so much. Sit on the couch and study my Bible. It's not about that. It's about people. I don't know about you, but I want to experience the fullness of my Father. All that He is. People keep telling us that He's in there. I believe He's in there, but I want to experience Him out here. So how are we as a culture, how are you as an individual, how are we going to experience a greater level of who He is and what He is if it's not by getting involved with the passion of His heart, and that's people. Everything else is great, but I'm telling you, everything else is a distraction. We're going to change things up this coming year. We're going to stop doing men's exclusive things and women's exclusive things. We're going to do things as couples. Singles. Everybody's involved. I don't care if you're male, female, doesn't matter. After all, there's no male, there's no female, right? So we're going to do things as just people, as a body. If you're married, bring your spouse. If you're not married, bring yourself. As long as you bring you, your pants, and your shirt, and we're good. But we're going to let Holy Spirit develop this culture. Because He wants to, and I want us to experience the fullness of Him.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.